The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land which Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well, and it was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. But the Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For the Jews had nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus said to her, "If only you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
Give us living water.
You do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Give us living water.
And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." But the woman answered and said, "I do not have a husband." Jesus told her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is already here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth."
Give us living water.
The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, the disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with the woman, but still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out from the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work.
Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word the woman who testified, he told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more came to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And this gospel text from the book of John, speaking about the Samaritan woman, is found only in John's gospel. The other three gospels make no mention of this Samaritan woman. Second thing, by way of background to understand, is there was a hostile division between Jews and Samaritans going back 500 years before Christ. And it's amazing how we cultivate and retain these divisions. And all through 500 years, there grew even a certain division and hostility between Jews and Samaritans. You remember that Luke chapter 10, where the Good Samaritan, he's the marginal person, he's the person, the outcast, who is the one who sets the example of charity in the Gospel of Luke. Even in our own tradition, our division with the Eastern, the Orthodox churches, go back to the 11th century, 1054, and we still have that division. And in the Reformation, Luther began in 1517, and we still have a division in the Christian communities. So it's remarkable how we have a way of cultivating and retaining these divisions, and that's what happened between the Samaritans and the Jews. The well, Jacob's well, is still there. And I know many of you who are pilgrims went to the well. It's an extraordinary place. It's 135 feet deep. And when we get there with a pilgrim group, we have the women come around the well. It's a statement about the significance of women in the history of the gospel and in the life of the church. And the women lay down the bucket, 135 feet, and they draw up the bucket, and we drink the water. It's still there. It's quite remarkable, actually, that you would still have the well at Shechem, which is in the West Bank. This woman, who is this woman? She has no name. And the implication of John's gospel is, she is every woman, and she is every man. She is you, and she is me. No name given here. What is most personal is most universal. Brené Brown's marvelous book, I thought it was only me, and it isn't. Some of you may have read that. It's a book about the humanity which binds us together. And she speaks about the fact that to be vulnerable and to be searching is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of character. It's a sign of inner strength to be vulnerable and to be a seeker. But this woman is kind of exceptional in ways. Jesus says, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Well, you've been married 5 times. Now, there are all sorts of symbols and so forth here we don't have time to discuss. But Jesus says, of course, you've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Often wondered if she showed up at Holy Family and wanted to register, what kind of a reception might she get? But she's real, and she's among us, and sometimes she's within us. She is carrying what we call a moral loneliness. Now, this is not just being alone. This is an overwhelming sense, perhaps of fear for the future, of a discouragement, it's a fatigue of the soul. It's an emptiness, it's a poverty of spirit. She is, relationally, she is homeless. Many people in relationships are relationally homeless. I'm wondering who will stand with me in my time of crisis, who will forgive me when I sin, who will believe in me, who will accept me when I'm vulnerable. Years and years ago, I read this book by this psychologist at the University of Chicago. And he said, the book was, Should I Ever Say Forever? And Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? I'm afraid to tell you who I am because if you know who I am, I won't be acceptable. I'll be vulnerable and I'll be seen as weak or unacceptable. Well, this woman is searching. And she's seeking some meaningful relationship in her life. Now, this moral loneliness has many faces. Could be an emptiness, a certain spiritual poverty. It could be a boredom, a place called lost. I don't know if you have ever been in a place called lost, but it's a real place. And I know because I've been there. It's a place of shadows, a place of darkness, a place of questioning, doubt, uncertainty. It's a place where you become a seeker. You look for a deeper understanding of your life. You look for a profound relationship that is secure, enduring, a blessed relationship. And if you have that relationship in your life, kneel sometime today and thank God for it. Because not everybody has it. And this is the woman, in her vulnerable condition and in her brokenness, that's where she meets her God. And she meets Jesus. No judgment from Jesus. No rejection. No exclusion from Jesus. There's an acceptance. There's a kindness of conversation. There's a certain patience of understanding in the manner in which Jesus meets her. He meets her where she is, not where she might be, where she should be, where she ought to be in life. He meets her in her poverty. This is the meeting place she has with her God. Jesus sees beyond the obvious. He sees the goodness in her. A goodness she herself cannot see. He affirms her in the manner in which he engages her conversation. And watch how her faith grows. She calls him, you are a man, you are a Jew, speaking to me, a Samaritan woman. And then she goes on to say, you're a prophet. And then she goes on to say, you're the Messiah. She is so empowered by the acceptance and the understanding and the embrace of Jesus in her vulnerable condition, in her moral loneliness, that she is so empowered, she goes into the town and she becomes the first one in the Gospel of John to preach Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It's not the perfect one that preaches. It's the broken one who has experienced Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I did wonder to myself when I was looking at this, since she is the first one to proclaim Jesus Christ, wonder what would happen if she showed up at Holy Family and said, I want to be a lector. We'd say, well, wait a minute. You've been married 5 times and you're living with a man who's not your husband. This past week or two, we had a couple down in Kansas whose child was refused admission to a school because the parents weren't living according to the gospel. That's what was said. What would happen to this woman if she showed up to get her kid into kindergarten at Holy Family? Would we say, wait a minute, you're not within the canons of the church? Or would we find a place? Would we find a compassion and understanding? By Richard Rohr in his new book, The Universal Christ, says that if you never have loved deeply, if you have never been hurt deeply, saddened in your life, then you will not be able to understand anything in depth in another person's life. If you have never sinned and needed to ask for forgiveness, then it may well be that you are incapable of forgiving others. If you have never been lost, if you're not lost, you can't be found. If you've never been lost, you've never been overcome with a darkness, you've never walked in shadows, then you will not understand this gospel. This gospel is only for those who know a place called lost. Amen.